Amen. We began last week by saying that the Apostle Paul is describing to us how did the church begin? What is the church? And here is a description for us of the church. And the Lord wants us to know who we are so that we may be able to know and understand the direction in which we are going as a body of His people. And three thoughts that we have been considering: how we are chosen by the Father, purchased by the Son, and sealed by the Holy Spirit. The Godhead, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit has been involved in the work of creating the church, in the work of our redemption. And so we said last week that we are a privileged people called out from sin unto holiness. The Lord wants us to know that we are a special people, people whom God had chosen specially to be His people. And God wants us to know that we are special, that indeed we are a privileged people. We are a special people in the sight of God, that God, even before the world was created, has chosen us to be His children. And being the children of God, we are in intimate fellowship with God. And that is the thought that we would like us to consider today, that you are a purchased people in intimate fellowship with God. God is with you. God's presence is helping you through life. And it is such a privilege that God wants you to know. And sealed by the Holy Spirit, a protected people destined for heaven. You know, you are a protected people. God's protection, His seal of approval, His seal of protection is upon you to guard you. This afternoon we were studying how Peter escaped from prison, how God sent an angel to break the chains, caused him to be able to escape out of high security imprisonment, an impossible thing, armed guards. And the Lord wants us to know that we serve a supernatural God, you see, and we are on the way to heaven. We are a protected people destined for heaven. There is a glory that we may not be able to behold now, what it will be in the day to come, in the time to come. And so the Lord wants us to think, consider our privilege. Page 5 of your notes. We are on our second thought. That we are a purchased people, right in the middle, in intimate fellowship with the living and true God. So verse 5 of our text, the Apostle Paul says, according as He has chosen us. But here in verse 5 he said, having predestinated us. The word there means to determine beforehand. This is God's plan, a predetermined plan thought out in the mind of God, that certain members of the human race, of Adam's children, would be called out from wrath to become God's children. That's the privilege that the Lord wants us to think and behold. You know, as a child to your father, you are precious in their sight. And the father always would seek the best for his children. And if you have the Heavenly Father, the maker of all things, as your father, it is a really exceptionally mind-boggling thought that the God of heaven, the one who created all these things, is so nigh to you. He is your father, and that he has chosen you to be his children. Wow, what a privilege that the Lord wants us to know how the child of God is in that intimate fellowship with God. You know, you have any problems that you have, you can simply call out to God. Bring your petitions, your cares, your needs to him through prayer, and it will be answered. God never leaves any prayer unanswered. Do you know that? There is no prayer that his children utter to the Father that God will not hear. You know, God wants to answer our prayer, meet your needs. Right? The trouble with children is that oftentimes they never ask. They're so far away from the Father. But here is brought to us that knowledge, that understanding, that even before we were born, even before the creation of this universe, we are going to become the children of God. And the word there that is used in verse 5 is that we are going to be adopted. The word adopted is a very special term that the Apostle Paul used that is borrowed from the Roman law. Being a Roman citizen, and he lived under the Roman system, he is speaking to the people in the Roman Empire. So he used this illustration that someone who is adopted as a child under the Roman law has a right to the name and property of the person by whom he had been adopted. Meaning that you will inherit all that belonged to your father. Wow! So privileged, right? Yeah. As a child of God, when we are adopted into the family, the moment a child is legally adopted, he has the legal rights to make all the claims. As a child, to the privileges and the rights of the father. And so, the Apostle Paul uses this word, adoption, to describe in a spiritual way how God brings us, the believer who is born again, whom God gives spiritual life, to become a member of his own family. A royal family. You are the prince and princesses, you know, of the King of Heaven. If I may explain it in a clearer way, your Father is the King of the universe. He owns the entire universe, and you are His child. Imagine the privilege. The Lord wants you to know your privilege in Christ. And how does this adoption came about? How do you become heirs of the inheritance of God in heaven? Wow. Our text tells us that it is by Jesus Christ. Okay. By Jesus Christ. How do you inherit all this from the Father? It is by Jesus Christ. So verse 3 of our text says that blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. So we are speaking about spiritual things. Okay. These spiritual things will one day be reality to you. The things of heaven we can't see now, but we look in faith by the promises of God what it will be. And it has to be discerned and understood in the Spirit by faith. And it is told to us here that in Jesus Christ, this blessing of adoption becomes a reality. That's why, you know, we go about, since the beginning of the church, when the offer of salvation is given to the Gentiles, not just to the Jews, the gospel is offered to everyone. In every age, and we are the blessed recipients of that privilege. That's why we share with others about Jesus Christ. Because He is the way, the only way, you see, in which we can receive the adoption. You can be adopted to become the child of the Father. It is in Jesus Christ. And this is the thought that we want to us to see. The work of God was to send His Son to enter human history to be our Redeemer. To be the one to purchase us, to buy us back to God. And our text tells us in verse 7 how we can be accepted as the children of God, as beloved, accepted as beloved children. Verse 7 is the key. It says here, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace. So this is what we, this is how we can receive that adoption, to be accepted as children. You are redeemed through His blood. The forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace. The favor of God. God's favor come to you, in other words. You see, that's why it's very mind-boggling, this thing about our life in with God. God chose you, and then God would manifest Himself to you through some point in your life, you know, God showed favor to you. You didn't go to God, but He come to you. And He opened your spiritual eyes to see the spiritual things. So how did this adoption come about? Well, this came about through His Son, Jesus Christ. He was that ransom to bring us back to God. And the word redemption there means to buy back. To buy back or to ransom. It means that Christ's death on the cross paid the price required to purchase the chosen of the Father from the slavery of sin to the freedom of being adopted as the children of God. So redemption means that Christ paid the price to free us from the penalty and bondage of sin. So God chose us, right? The thought that is before us is that God chose us even from the foundation of the world. But while we were born sinners, and we were estranged from God. You don't know that Heavenly Father, and we were lost. We were lost in the sense that we don't know the direction to that living and true God. In many of our families, you know, we make idols and we pray to these idols for years and years and years. You know, cannot recall how many years we pray to these idols until God showed us that these idols are not the true God. We realized that, hey, what have we been doing? God opened our eyes to see that redemption comes through His Son, Jesus Christ. And what did He do? Well, He frees us from the penalty and power of sin. So, when Christ was on the cross, you know, you can imagine a magnifying glass. A magnifying glass with a focus, you know, upon a beam of light, a light from the sun. You put a magnifying glass to focus the light of the sun. And, you know, you can put a piece of paper underneath. And the magnifying glass would shine and focus the light, you know, upon a particular point. And as the sun's heat comes upon and magnified and focus, you know, suddenly you find that, wow, the paper starts to char and start to burn, you know. That was the intensity of what Christ was going through when He was on the cross. He was bearing the sins of the world when He was upon the cross. And He, on the cross, paid the price for our sins by His sacrificial death on the cross. Now, we were helpless, we were hopelessly enslaved to sin under God's condemnation. But how did He free us? Well, by His death on the cross. But our text also tells us that with His own blood, Christ paid the penalty to release us from the bondage. That was how we are saved, by the blood of Christ. God had to send His own Son. His Son, own Son, had to shed His blood. You know, when we study and look at the Word of God, and you understand, you look at the message of the cross, is there any emotion that comes in your heart? Do you understand what we are talking about when we speak about Christ on the cross, bearing your sins? There must be an emotional understanding of what God is doing for you. You see, it's not a cold-hearted gospel, you know. But God Himself sent His Son, so precious, to die for you. Would you give your son away to be sacrificed for someone's use? I think we'll think and say, no, of course not. My own son is precious. Why would I want to sacrifice? No sane mother and father would, you know, sacrifice his own children. Right? But what we are saying here is that because our sins are so great, we are so estranged from God, that there is no way to pay for our sins except that God would send His Son. So God wants us to know the price that was paid to adopt us to be His children. There was a price paid. A ransom was paid. Something has to be given in order that you receive that adoption. Okay. A price has to be paid. Okay. And the Lord wants us to know that it was a very costly. Okay. For you to become a child of God, it was very costly. Okay. If you are a parent, right, a father, a mother, you don't want your children to suffer anything, right? You want them to have the best of everything. But here you see the Father's love for us. That in order to make us His children, there is a price to be paid, a ransom to be paid. And that ransom was the life, the blood of His own Son. Wow! A great sacrifice. And so the Lord wants us to know how precious this salvation we have in Christ. That it is not so simple. But it was a price that the Son of God had to pay. So the hymn says, Jesus paid it all. All to Him I owe. Do you know how much you owe to your Savior for saving you? Oftentimes we don't understand what we owe, you know. The debt that we owe. What was being paid, the Father had to pay with the life of the Son in order that you be brought nigh to be adopted as the child. So the Lord wants you to see the process in which you gain your status, you know, to be called a child of God. Great price paid. Blood had to be shed. And the Lord wants us to realize how we have been forgiven. The debt is released. The Bible, the verse there in verse 7 says, in whom we have redemption, we have been purchased, bought back, right, through the blood of Christ to obtain the forgiveness of sins. The word forgiveness means that our debt is released. What you owe, okay, is no longer held against you. There was a price that was paid. Right? The Son paid for the price. Paid the price. Okay? And the debt is released. We can have access to the Father. We can have access to heaven itself. The broken relationship between us and God is redeemed, mended back. And that's why this doctrine of forgiveness is so precious, you know. Forgiveness, the word forgiveness means losing or letting someone go from what binds him. It means you no longer, the person no longer has to pay anything anymore. You have released the person from the debt. That's forgiveness. Have you broken the law before? And after you've broken the law, you know that, hey, there is a penalty, you know, to the breaking of the law. You have to pay for it. And it's going to cost you something. Whether you're going to go to prison, whether you're going to be whipped, you know, whether you're going to lose your life, there is a price to be paid for what you have done wrong. Okay. And then it is told to you, so you must be really sad, afraid, fearful, you know, to know that, hey, you have to pay the penalty. Whether you get caning, whether you're going to stay in prison for the rest of your life, you know, whether you're going to lose your life, you know that you have to pay something. But what we are saying here is that payment that you have to make for what you have done wrong is paid in full for you. Someone pay for you. You have been redeemed. You have received the forgiveness. Wow. So privileged, right? So good. This is what Jesus Christ did to free us from our sins. And that is a great thing that God had done through His Son. And God wants us to know. And that's why we preach the gospel. And you know, when you give the gospel, it must be, you know, it must not be something mechanical, you know. You just have a knowledge of the gospel. But you have no understanding to the emotional attachment of what God had done, what the Father had done in sending the Son. You must understand it, you know. And then you can plead with the person why he needs this salvation. You must feel it. You must understand it. You know, it must not be academic. It must not be theological. That's why, you know, there was a pastor of old. He says that he doesn't, you know, believe in imparting a lot of knowledge of the Word of God to people without an understanding, you know, of what it means to carry that knowledge. Knowledge can puffed up, you see. And we don't know what that means, you know, what God had done. And so we can be in that situation, not really seeing and understanding what God is doing in our lives. Christ has purchased us so that we can be in intimate relationship with the living and true God. This is what it means, sir. This is the wisdom of God. This is the mystery of His will. It is in His good pleasure, verse 8 and 9 says, that He purposed in Himself to save us in this way through His Son. And that is, wow, that is something that, you know, we thank God we know. It is revealed to us that it is in redemption, it is in Christ that we have redemption. And if you were to study the Chinese philosophers, you know, many of the Chinese philosophers, they seem to have special revelation from God, you know. Their doctrine is so close to what is taught in the Bible, except that they didn't name the name and person of Christ. But they know that there is the being of heaven, and that they have to respect that heaven. They have to give honor to that heaven. Not there yet. You see, that's why we say we are privileged. And for me, it was like that. Someone came to me, sit me down in his office and said that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word was made flesh. This was what God did to save you. And I was thinking and thinking about my life, and, you know, no direction and purpose. Somehow things are just not able to be sorted out, you know. Everything is not clear. But suddenly it becomes clear. See, life's jigsaw puzzle is, you know, that's truth, you see. You cannot go against the truth. When the truth comes to you and the Spirit of God moves you to understand, to comprehend, then you just surrender yourself to it. That was what I did. I surrendered myself to the truth of God. And as I look back, as you look at, you know, the teachings, the writings of the Chinese philosophers, you see how close they are coming to know the God of heaven. And, you know, not really there, but revealed. We know in Jesus Christ. So, what Paul is saying to us, revealing to us in his word, is so wonderful, wonderfully great. Right? We are purchased, chosen by the Father, purchased by the Son, and sealed by the Holy Spirit. The Gospels of salvation come to us when we believe in the gospel that Christ died for our sins and rose victorious from the dead the third day. And the Lord wants us to see That was what happened in our lives. When we repent of our sins, when we heard the truth of the gospel, and we believe in whom also ye trusted after ye have heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, the message of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed. So you must hear, right? And you trusted in this word you heard, and you trusted in this word of truth, and you believed. That is how we are saved. We believe, we heard the word, and you, something inside you tells you that that is the truth, cannot escape. And you believed. And then something miraculous happened. The Bible tells us that the Holy Spirit come and dwell in you. You see, sealed by the Holy Spirit, a protected people destined for heaven. Verse 10 to 14. That in the dispensation, in the fullness of time, that he might gather together in one all things in Christ. Right? God is going to do something, you know, in the time to come. Right? Gather us all to heaven. You know, the world today is trying to prepare the world for the second coming of Christ. Right? Saying that, extraterrestrial, you know, knowledge, being. What are they talking about? Well, if they have information that the consummation is going to come, when Christ would return, then there would be many voices there preparing the world to be deceived when Christ would come. That in the dispensation to come, he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both in heaven and in earth, even in him. So the Lord tells us that we are a very special people going to heaven. Right. And that promise that you would reach your heavenly destination comes by the seal of the Holy Spirit of promise, verse 13 says at the end. Okay, the Holy Spirit guarantee, that's the meaning of the word seal. Guarantee. So it speaks of security, it speaks of permanence. That you are guaranteed, you know, just like when you want to board a plane, you must have your boarding pass. Right? And it must have your name, you know. if it's not your name, if there's a misspelling, and you get to the custom, and it says, hey, that's not your name, but they said, hey, this is my passport. There's a difference. You can't get in. You must be sure. That, you know, you have that boarding pass and that it has your name written on it and that you're going to get through the customs, you're going to board the plane. So verse 14 says that the Holy Spirit, which is the earnest of our inheritance, it is the down payment. Before the full price would be paid, the Holy Spirit is that down payment, meaning that, you know, it is given such that the final payment would be made in full later. Okay? That you would be sealed, you would be guaranteed, in other words. So, you know, when you want to purchase a house, you have to put a down payment, right? When you put a down payment, it means that it's as good as you have bought the house, right? Because they would accept that down payment as a guarantee that the rest would be paid. So when you have the seal of the Holy Spirit in you, right, it means that it is that down payment to guarantee that you're going to reach your final destination in heaven. Okay. You're going to be there. And God wants us to have that assurance that you are going to be there. And the Lord wants you to have that understanding. Absent in the body is present with the Lord. So that as you go through life, you are prepared anytime, to be with the Lord. Are you prepared? Do you know that you have the seal of the Holy Spirit in you? Do you know that you have been purchased by the blood of Christ? That you have received the forgiveness of your sins? That you have peace in your heart? That you, the day when you take your last breath, when life is cut off from you, okay, you are going to begin eternal life in heaven. Do you have that assurance in your heart? How can you have the assurance? By the word of God, by the promises that God gave in His word, that He sent His Son, that He died for you, and that you have believed this gospel, that He has shed His blood to wash away your sins. In the time to come, when saints will be glorified, be rewarded with a new body, to rule with Christ on earth and enjoy Him through eternity. What great privilege we have. During the first two church camps that we had, we dwell a little bit about heaven. And the Lord wants us to know that your life on earth is very short. 70, 80 years, very short. Eternity is what matters. Okay. So, you may have your aches, your pains today. You may have your discomforts. But this is all going to be temporary. If you know where you will be going, the glory that is coming, then you have the strength to endure. Have the strength to hope, that this is not going to be forever. Right? This body is going to be destroyed. This body is going to deteriorate. We don't want to put hope in this body at all. Because it's an earthen vessel. It will be corrupted. It will receive corruption. It won't surprise you. Don't be surprised. You are not surprised by it. That you would go through that phase. So, that's why the spiritual understanding is so important. Only when you have that spiritual perspective, then you will be able to handle these earthly trials, earthly life, earthly weakness. All this weakness that you are facing. You know that God is going to give you a new body. You're not going to lose anything. And God is preparing you for eternity. So may the Lord help us to understand our privilege in Christ. Okay? We close with the chorus. His very own. Right? His very own. This chorus that we can sing together. His very own, His very own, wonderful grace in His word is made known. Chosen by the Father, purchased by the Son, sealed by the Spirit, I'm His very own, His very own. His very own, wonderful grace in His word is made known. Chosen by the Father, purchased by the Son, sealed by the Spirit,
I'm His very own. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we want to thank Thee for giving to us Thy word from the pen of the Apostle Paul in the book of Ephesians to help us to see our privilege in Christ as adopted children of God with all the privileges that would be bestowed upon us, that is being bestowed upon us moment by moment and all the way to heaven. Lord, help us to see what great privilege of people we are, and help us to be sent as Thy ambassadors to share with others how we can receive this privilege. Lord, may Thou help us to be a good witness for Thy own namesake to the glory that Thou hast done through our lives in Christ Jesus. This is my prayer with thanksgiving. In Jesus' name. Amen.